Hello, and welcome to Evolving Consciousness, the podcast where you discover more about the invisible world of energy, consciousness, spirituality, and all the things that help you create your dreamiest life and business yet. Here's your host, Stacey Hartman.
Hello, and welcome back. So I have a question for you. Have you been wondering how to scale your business or your life for greater impact and wealth? What I'm going to share today might surprise you because it has nothing to do with any external strategy or tactic you think might actually create this desire. It's something simpler, but even though it's simple, doesn't mean it's not challenging. This little thing we're diving into today is a powerhouse when it comes to focusing your energy, increasing your capacity to receive, and keeping you tapped in to God, Universe, Source, Gus. So what is it? Boundaries. Boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. This is one of the most overlooked energetics that can and will lead you to more abundance, peace, joy, and personal power. Boundaries quickly and powerfully refine your entire energetic field and pierce through all the veils. They allow for you to get focused. Your energy gets focused. It's undistractable. They support you in holding an intention long enough for it to actually manifest, for that energy to turn into matter. And they allow you to sustain your connection to Gus. Leaky or wishy-washy boundaries block your ability and capacity to fully receive everything you want. And you can know that you have leaky boundaries when you feel annoyed or irritated or frustrated. It's when you are feeling those irritations and frustrations and annoyances that little clues pop up about where you are not upholding your boundaries or being honest with yourself and expressing what it is you really want in that moment. These irritations, frustrations, and annoyances have nothing to do with the other people. Typically, we project back onto them, making it seem as though they are the ones at fault. However, what it really is little flags, little opportunities for you to reclaim more of your own power, more of your own knowing, more of who you are, bringing little fragmented pieces of yourself back home into wholeness and completeness. The distraction is when we blame, project, and put those experiences off onto other people. The truth is, and the real opportunity, is recognizing that these are your shadows, and that this is where you are not fully aligned with the truth of who you are, not fully aligned with your desires, and not fully aligned with Source. Not recognizing that this is a call to arms for deeper boundaries is what increases the separation and distance from the quantum field and from Source energy, which means that anything you want to create or have happen in your business or your life is going to require much more human effort. And that's really what we mean when we talk about being separated from the field and being in lower levels of consciousness. It just means that you are going to have to rely on your own efforts, your own energy, your own resources more than you would have to or than you would want to if Source had your back, if the universe was also working on your behalf. And when we rely so much on our own human effort, that's what leads to burnout, stress, unfulfillment, or even when we accomplish the big goals, them feeling lackluster and not at all what we thought we'd be feeling once we accomplished those big goals. So everything that you are learning in today's episode and in all the previous episodes are ways for you to not have to rely solely on your limited human effort alone, to bring in all of the resources of the unseen realm, to collapse time, to create incredible synchronicities, to feel like you're literally on a magic carpet ride. And today's topic around boundaries is one of those big missing pieces that allows you to tap into more of that unseen support and that limitless amount of resources that can be found beyond our limited human effort alone. All right, let's take this a little bit deeper. There are two big reasons why you might not be setting and upholding your boundaries. The first is our tendency to overtake responsibility for how our choices, our heart-centered, truth-based choices and boundaries are going to make others feel. We don't want to make people feel bad. And that causes us to stop ourselves from upholding those boundaries in the first place. The second big one is the fear of rejection. This overtaking of responsibility and fear of rejection are the two things that cut you off from your own power, your confidence, your truth, and really all the things that are going to attract in everything you want. Ultimately, this is where your world gets very small. Things shrivel up, and you become a victim to yourself. The other way that this shows up, aside from when we become victims to ourselves and turn inward as we are overtaking responsibility for others and have our fear of rejection, is that we then start to project or blame all of our lack of boundaries onto others and making it their fault, believing that it is their actions and what they are doing that is making life harder than it has to be. We start to think things like, if only they would be nicer, if only they would listen, if only they would appreciate me, if only they would insert any and every projection that you might have onto somebody else where you are believing that your life would be easier if somebody else were different. If only they would be more respectful, if only they would do what I say, if only they would. That is the projection field. That is where you are giving your power away to others and in a complete holding pattern as you're trying to control something that is completely out of your control. Again, you can recognize this projection and this giving your power away to others when you feel annoyed, irritated, and frustrated with others, when you feel triggered. And when we feel those things, our tendency, our natural programming is to blame them rather than taking radical responsibility for the fact that you simply are unable or unwilling to set your own boundaries because of the reasons I just mentioned. You are unwilling or unable to set your own boundaries because you are afraid of how it's going to make them feel or because you are afraid you are going to be rejected by them. This is the reason why setting boundaries is so hard for pretty much everyone. And that there is really a deep inherent programming and misconception that by setting boundaries, you're being selfish. That is a bad thing to do, that you would be a bad person. And the opposite judgment that we have is that being generous and thinking of others before yourself is the right thing to do. This is judgment because it's very black and white. You're a good person when you do these things. You're a bad person when you do those things. And because of that judgment, we sometimes compromise our own truth, our own boundaries, our own heart's desires to fit into that label of good instead of bad. But I have a very different perspective on this perpetual and ingrained message that is all over the place that we likely learned by the time we were three through programming from society, our parents, schools, whatever it may be, all around sharing and all about what it means to be a good person that's been handed down generation after generation. This big blanket message that is covering up all of humanity and all of our psyches. And I want to take the blanket off and share a different perspective. The greatest gift that we can give ourselves and give others is to tune in to our own heart's desires, to know emphatically what we really want. And when it is your true heart's desires and not what your mind thinks you want, it already inherently is infused with the good for all and for you. Because the heart automatically wants things that are in everybody's best interest. And when we put not wanting to hurt other people's feelings or not wanting to be rejected above this truth that's in our heart, we are actually enabling others rather than empowering them. We're not trusting. We're not trusting that our heart actually already is infused with the perfect solution for everybody involved. And we're taking the long path. So when you listen to your heart's desires, it's actually quite the opposite. I mean, the key here is to be able to discern what is your heart's desires versus what is the mind and what it thinks it wants. I mean, that's where the real work lies. But once you get really clear on that discernment, when you know it's what your heart wants, and you usually can know it because you have an actual physical experience when it's really something you want, when it's not a desire that's trying to fill some feeling of lack or not enoughness, when the desire really amplifies the knowing of your wholeness and completeness already. That's a heart's desire versus a dark side of desire. But when it is that desire, when it is a desire to speak truth, to speak knowing, to know like you know like you know, the intention and where it's coming from, you can say or do anything so long as you are honoring that part of yourself. So when you are honoring that part of yourself, it is impossible to be an asshole and walk all over people. It is not selfish. It's actually more selfish to withhold that truth, which is already inherently for the good of all and for the best of for you. And when we honor everything that your heart and your soul is guiding you to honor, and you trust and know that if your heart and soul is guiding you to set a boundary or guiding you to use your time and your mind and your energy and your resources in a different way than society would be telling you you should be using it, that it is absolutely in the best interest for everyone for you to honor that, that it is not selfish. In fact, if everybody in the world would truly be willing to tune in to the truth that's in their heart's desires, the truth of what they really want, not from programming, but the truth of what they really want, and honored that truth, the entire world would self-organize. This is individuation. This is the realization that if we all just listened to that part of ourselves and honored it and upheld the boundaries for it, that everything would unfold in the highest divine order. So here's the thing, is that when you are listening to your heart and setting boundaries, it is going to trigger other people that are not listening to their heart and setting those same boundaries. It is going to make other people feel very uncomfortable when they are at the effect of and trying to control other people in order for them to have the experience they want to have. It is a big, huge mirror that creates triggers and projections and emotional reactivity in others. And this is where it's important to remember, you are not responsible for their triggers. This is that overtaking responsibility for how other people take your boundaries. You can be in a place of neutrality, uphold your boundaries, and have empathy for how it made them feel. However, it is not your responsibility. They are responsible for how whatever you choose to do from a place of true truth is theirs, not yours. Because really, let's be honest, the choice that you're making is to either honor your own truth or help other people feel comfortable. So who do you really want to compromise? Do you want to compromise yourself in order for other people to feel comfortable? Do you want to dismiss and negate your heart? Or do you want to be comfortable with other people's discomfort and realize that the deepest and highest integrity that you can have is being honest and truthful with yourself and what you want? Think about that for a second and really sit in this question. If you fully released how any choice you are making made other people feel, then what would you choose? If you could have it your way, what would you want that is 100% within your control? What are you no longer available for? What are you available for? This is the first step when it comes to setting boundaries. First, we have to be really clear about what we want, why we want it, who we really are. And when that is crystal clear, we have an obligation, a commitment to protect those values in order to live our fullest life and be in our fullest expression and be the greatest contribution that we can be. The answers to those questions I just posed reveal where your heart-centered boundaries are begging to be deployed. And to remember that when people are triggered by these boundaries and taking them personally, there are deeper lessons for their energy field that is permeating them in that moment that they might not even be aware of, but they are transformational. There is an unseen impact happening when you uphold your boundaries in a way that is honoring your truth in your heart. Because you are not only setting the boundary for yourself, it's simultaneously role modeling and showing others the power of setting those boundaries from a place of neutrality, respect, honesty. And at some point, this plants this seed for their ability to understand that they have the same power, that they also can set boundaries even if it makes people uncomfortable. When you are setting boundaries in this way, based on your truth and what you really want, you are tightening your receiving container. You are tightening the capacity to hold more abundance and peace and joy and freedom and impact. This is your divine inheritance. And while you are doing this for yourself, you are planting those same seeds of abundance in others. And they might not sprout immediately, and they might not sprout in their lifetime. Maybe the conditioning or the discomfort with making people uncomfortable or the fear of rejection will be too great for them. But you just revealed a new potential that they might not have even known existed by simply doing your thing. I'm inviting you to see the bigger picture about all of this. The truth is that the speed of creation, the speed of co-creation, happens from the ability that you have to fully focus and not be distracted, to honor your heart and what it wants in any given moment, and to not overtake responsibility for how honoring that makes other people feel. This has been one of my biggest challenges that I just recently really uncovered in my own business. For a very long time, I've been holding this question, which, by the way, Gus loves when we hold questions so that he can provide the answers. Our role is to come up with the questions that are easy to receive support with and guidance from, not to answer the questions themselves. Little side note. But I'd been holding this question in particular, which God Universe Source loves both and questions because it just gives incredible creative freedom to drop in things that we could have never conceived ourselves because our minds are so limited. So the question I've been holding for a very long time, how can I scale my impact and revenues without it compromising the beautiful life I have? And for the longest time, I was searching for business models or things that would allow me to serve more people in less time, scalable programs, increasing my rates, like all these different things that I was coming up with that were tactical and strategic. And I tried many of them, and many of the times I would try them and I would notice and recognize my life was getting more complex and it was in fact compromising my freedom and the enjoyment and beauty that I'd had and the spaciousness that I had prior to trying to implement all these things. And just recently, and why we are having this conversation right now, I realized it was never about the business model. It was never about changing something externally that was front-facing to the outside world. That it was always about this. It wasn't about building a team and delegating more, and because honestly, you know, I see this a lot with a lot of coaches. They're like, I'm ready to hire a team. I want to delegate more. And we're going to talk about this in a minute from the more business standpoint. And the truth is that people can't see when you have a team, you add a whole new repertoire of responsibilities on your plate. So as much as we think not doing the things we don't love to do is going to create more freedom, it just adds a whole bunch of other new things on our plate that may or may not feel like we're adding or having any additional freedom. Total side note there. So I had this realization, this beautiful solution dropped in after holding that question for a very long time of the both and. This beautiful solution about how to serve more people and simultaneously do it in less time, thereby having even more freedom and more spaciousness. This both and vision about serving more people, creating more wealth, and simplifying my business. I would guess by now you can guess what that solution was, because it's everything we've been talking about. The solution was always stronger boundaries. With stronger boundaries and less overtaking of responsibility for my clients, the less energy I was pouring into overtaking responsibility about their experience, their results, what was happening for them. The stronger boundaries about what I'm available for, what I'm not available for, how I love to serve, what works for me, what doesn't work for me. The more I articulated and shared that and held that without any fear of if that didn't work for them, that they could go. The more I did that, the more capacity I had to serve more people without changing anything externally. It was one move. And it was uncomfortable because it was changing how I had been working with clients the entire life of my business. It was re-delegating, reassigning all that energy that I'd been taking on, all that responsibility, all that stuff, and handing it back to them. It was remembering that every single one of them has the capacity, the ability, the power, the intuition, the knowing to create their own reality, that I didn't have to do anything other than hold the space for them to take radical responsibility and ownership for their own businesses, their own lives, and hold them accountable to that vision. Not take on the responsibility myself. And as I've done that in my existing business with my existing clients, my spaciousness has compounded, meaning now I have even more energy, capacity to receive. I have the capacity to support more clients in this same way. And I still have all of the freedom, all of the simplicity, and all of the spaciousness. It was an energetic shift that cracked open loads of new possibilities for abundance and impact. And not only that, it cracked open incredible creativity and more ideas. It started compounding. And it took me years to get this answer. Why did it take so long? Because I kept looking at external things as if it was some magic bullet program or model or something outside of me that was going to allow me to increase this impact and increase my revenues and increase my wealth and my abundance and also increase my freedom and simplicity and all of it all at the same time. I kept thinking I was missing something externally. But the only thing I was missing was a remembering of my clients' power to create, a remembering of the more responsibility I take, the more enabling I am, and the longer it takes for them to create their reality. A remembering that my overtaking responsibility for how they are feeling in my programs or how they are feeling about my coaching or how they are experiencing things or whether or not they are getting results was prolonging their ability to create everything that they wanted to create. And the minute that I made this shift, the minute I had the realization and put it into action, this isn't just contemplating and sitting with, the minute it came in, the minute it dropped in, I immediately, the next interaction I had with clients, set the boundary. Immediately passed off all that responsibility and gave them full permission that if they did not want to take ownership and responsibility for the program, for themselves, for their business, that they could leave, but that I was no longer available to support people who weren't willing to do that. And do you want to know what happened? Everybody got fired up. Everybody felt a new level of their power because I gave it all back to them. I took it from them in my concern about how they were feeling about our work together. I took it from them in my concern and insecurities around, am I doing enough? Are they getting the results they wanted? Is this investment worth it for them? That was none of my stuff to carry or hold. You have one job if you are a transformational coach or a transformational consultant or working with people in any capacity where you are serving them and helping them solve challenges and find solutions. One role to remind them that they got it and to hold them accountable to taking radical responsibility and to empowering them, not enabling them. There was so much energy scattering all about that was making it challenging for me to be able to take on more clients. Because again, I was very clear. There was no way I was going to give up the freedom, the simplicity, the beauty, the connection that I had in my current life to pursue more money or working with more clients. And if we take this all the way back to the beginning, that's selfishness. That's the boundary I did have in place, but there was another level of boundary asking to come forward. That was one boundary where I was not available to ever compromise my current reality, which is beautiful, in the name of making more money or even creating more impact because I have a skill set that transforms lives. I would not compromise those heart's desires, those truths about what's important to me, those values for anything. And it is for this reason that my own personal business was shut down last year. And I worked only with a very small handful of clients. And still to this day, I'm working with a small handful of clients. But now with this new realization, with this new freed up energy, with this new space and capacity for more, to be able to serve more, to be able to create greater impact, to also be able to amplify and use money as a vehicle and tool to amplify the beautiful life I've already created. You might want to re-listen to that. This is money's purpose. And we've got a whole other podcast about wealth consciousness and money. Money's purpose is to amplify the wholeness and completeness of what already is. So when I had the desire to scale my impact and my revenues, it was simply to allow for an even, I don't want to say fuller because there's like inherent judgment in that, to create new experiences that amplify what already is, to use money as a vehicle to experience next levels and next different, it's not even next levels, it's just different experiences of freedom, spaciousness, creativity, joy, peace, happiness. So money was just the vehicle to create different experiences that align with the wholeness and completeness of what already is. So that's a very powerful intention to wrap money with, because then no longer is money filling a bottomless pit of not enough, and we're giving power to money. We're allowing money to align with us and what already is and become one with it. apparently that really wanted to come through, even though it's a little off topic. So with these boundaries in place, your entire role shifts. The entire energetic of your business shifts. You are holding space. You are simply holding space and are available and present for anyone who wants to come in and claim their power. You are role modeling it. You are templating it. You are holding the vibration for entrainment. You are inviting people into the next level of their own power as you have tapped into this power within you through setting boundaries. And as you do that, you are nourished, and everyone coming into your energetic space, container, programs are also nourished. They are claiming their ability to nourish themselves through what you are holding and entraining them to. And they know when they come into this space, it eliminates this weird codependency relationship that can happen in coach-client partnerships. They know when you are holding this level of boundary that everything that happens, they did. They did it. You didn't do it for them. They own it. The stronger the boundaries, the greater your capacity is to receive. The stronger the boundaries, the greater your capacity is also to give. And there is a level after a level after a level of learning how to tighten these boundaries based on the truth in your heart. I just shared with you, I had a boundary that was based on the truth in my heart. That was one level, which was my unwillingness to ever again, after compromising it over and over again, my unwillingness to compromise my current beautiful, simple, spacious life, connected life for my business. This next level boundary was, I'm upholding that boundary. And now, as I also uphold the boundary that I am not responsible for anybody and that they have the power to take the reins of their own life and their own business, that increases my capacity to receive even more spaciousness, freedom, simplicity, impact, and wealth. So I want to go into another little tactical thing that your brain is just going to love. And it's another misconception people have when it comes to setting boundaries that I alluded to already around, well, one of the things that I'll do in order to serve more people is I'll hire support and I'll do all these other things. You know, I'll get more tech in or whatever it may be to scale my business and serve more people and increase my wealth and impact and those external things. And there's a process that I uncovered. I call it the EAT process. It's an acronym. I love acronyms. It's called the EAT process. And I was revisiting it as I was tuning into this message and my most recent experience around setting these boundaries. It just kind of popped back up and I was like, oh, now I know why it popped up. So the EAT process is basically like how to scale your business, how to scale your impact, all of those things. But the first, it's a specific order to take a look at before you dive into other aspects of your business. And so it's any time that you're like thinking about creating a new program or creating a new marketing plan or like doing anything new in your business, our brain's tendency is to overcomplicate everything. And it creates all these complexities and it just takes so much energy and so much time and so many resources and so much money to follow these complex plans that the brain comes up with. So while my brain is kind of running rampant with all of these complex, confusing, overcomplicated, perfect plans, I apply and overlay this EAT process before I actually start really investing a lot of time, money, energy, resources, all of that stuff into it. So the EAT process, the very first step, the E is eliminate. This is setting boundaries. The first step of the EAT process is all about setting boundaries right out of the gate. It's an energetic. It's a clarification of how necessary is this really? Is this really what I want? How does this feel? If it didn't have to be this way, how would I want it to be? And then it's honoring that desire with a boundary and eliminating anything and everything that doesn't feel in alignment, that doesn't feel good, that doesn't feel necessary. And finding the simpler, more elegant path to the desired outcome. And this also means that you might be eliminating things that used to be in alignment with your heart and soul, but with this new evolved version of who you are, it is no longer. So much of the work that I do with my clients is this, is I can take a look at their entire business model and literally eliminate sometimes 50 to 70% of what they're spending their time on and reveal that elegant, simple path that accomplishes the goal that they thought this other path was going to help them accomplish. It's amazing. So the second step, and this isn't really related to this podcast, but I just want to share the other two steps. The second step after eliminate is automate. And so automate just means, like, to me, the more that I can have certain processes happening automatically, the easier everything flows and it frees up time and energy and all of that. And it's like a one-time setup. You invest time and energy into some automation stuff and boom, it can just run like clockwork for very specific processes in your business at various times. Things that are super redundant, that feels like you're doing over and over again, very mundane. Most of the time, there's a technology that can start to automate some of those pieces. The third part of the EAT process is team. So whatever isn't eliminated or whatever can't be automated because it requires personal touch or kind of the white glove service, then those are the things that we can take a look at delegating to team. And this is one of the ways that I set boundaries in my business, is super clear, clarified ideas of what I want to accomplish in the simplest, most effective, elegant path I can find. But again, I'm kind of digressing away from boundaries here and going into some business teachings. The big thing, though, about this EAT process and why it was coming up around this is that very first step of eliminate, which is all about setting boundaries. I'm no longer available for this. I'm not available for complexity. I'm not available for creating extra work that isn't efficient. It's really getting clear, like, what are you available for? What aren't you available for? And eliminating those things you are not available for. All of this, the entire EAT process, but especially the eliminate one, allows you to step into a new level of simplicity, ease, and flow in your business and in your life. All right, I'm going to switch gears here a little bit as we go deeper into boundaries. We mentioned this earlier, that the fastest way to acknowledge and recognize where boundaries are begging to be put into place are through your own feelings of annoyance, irritation, and frustration. Also, feelings of overwhelm, confusion, lostness. Basically, most of the feelings that you're having that feel very uncomfortable are clues about opportunities to set new boundaries. So a great place to start is to really lean in. Go all the way in to those irritations. Give yourself permission to be a bitch, to be rude, to be a jerk, to be judgmental. Give yourself permission to vent out all of those irritations, frustrations, and annoyances. Now, this is probably going to be really one of the most uncomfortable things for many of you to do because you don't like seeing yourself in this lens. But remember, you are an infinite being, which means you are all things, which means you are a nasty person as well as a glorious, divine, beautiful person. And so the first thing to do is, when it comes to getting really honest with yourself, is to actually go into those irritations, frustrations, and annoyances and think about what really bothers you. What bugs you, especially as it pertains to if you're an entrepreneur, this is where I love to focus my time, energy, and genius is around how to really create this super high conscious, beautiful, impactful business. So think about the things in your business that are happening right now that are bothering you, irritating you, annoying you, all of those things. And vent them out and get honest with yourself. And that's going to be your first stop to start exploring what is asking for boundaries. What do you want? What are you willing to have? What are you unwilling to have happen anymore? And as you do all of this and you start to put into action setting these boundaries, a couple little reminders for you. You don't owe anybody anything. And you are not responsible for how the choices you make based on your heart's desires make other people feel. The only time that we have some accountability and responsibility for how our choices make others feel is when your intention and your energy is coming from a place of projection or shadow. When you are shadow boxing, when you are triggering each other and pushing each other's buttons, and you are in a triggered state and not a neutral state, and you are reacting and interacting from that place, that is an opportunity to take some responsibility for your part in that interaction. However, if your boundaries and what you are saying and doing are coming from a place of neutrality, and neutrality just means it's coming from your truth and not from emotion, it's coming from a soft, calm, peaceful place, a true desire, and not from a reactive place, you are not responsible for how that makes other people feel if it triggers them. And you don't owe anybody anything. You can have empathy for their triggers, for their own discomfort, but that does not mean it is anything that you have to step in and overtake responsibility for. This truly is the choice you're making every single time, to honor your heart, to honor your truth, or to honor somebody else's experience, thereby denying yourself. When you honor yourself, you eliminate your own projections onto others. When you honor yourself in your truth, you eliminate the responsibility that you were taking on for others. This is so important for our evolution. There is no getting to the next level of consciousness without new boundaries and new honesties with ourselves. The inability to get honest with what we really want, or to set those boundaries because of fear of what people will think, or the fear of how people will feel based on this truth that is actually yours, is exactly what causes stress in our life. It's what makes us sick. It's what adds lots of unnecessary expenditure of your energetic resources. It's just not necessary. And the other thing that will help us remember this is to also remember everyone that might be put off by the boundaries you're setting, and also you, always has the power of choice. The greatest freedom is the power of choice. And when you exercise this power of choice and conscious choice, you are free. People forget about this power of choice. And it's easy to forget because maybe they don't like the options that are laid out in front of them. But when people don't like the two options or the three options that are laid out in front of them and they don't want any of them, they can feel like they have no choice at all. Yet they do still have choice. They still have the choice of those two, three options. And it is the forgetting that they have a choice that prevents them from seeing all of the other infinite choices that are also available to them. And people forget this, especially when they're on the receiving end of other people's boundaries. Because when a boundary is set and it triggers somebody, they don't like their choices. The choices that they're left with feel inconvenient. And the tendency is to continue to give that power away and expect other people to acclimate to what makes their life more convenient and comfortable. But the reality is that inconvenience or that discomfort is actually just asking them to recognize that they still have a choice. And even though you don't like your choices, even though you don't like maybe what's right in front of you, doesn't mean you don't have a choice. It just means you don't like them, but you still have a choice. And it's only when you feel you have no choice that you are leaking all of your power. But ultimately, the minute that you take your power back and just acknowledge, I don't like it, I don't like these choices, but I still have a choice, you can get clear about what you want and recognize that those choices right in front of you, while you don't like them and you kind of feel into the acceptance of, I don't like these choices, and I still have a choice, something incredible happens. And something incredible can happen for the people around you when they don't like the choices they're left with after you set a boundary. The whole world opens up. When people feel uncomfortable, it puts them in a position to make a conscious choice, to not just settle, to really evaluate what they want. And they don't like making choices. They would rather just stay comfortable. So your boundaries crack open all of those new opportunities for people to make a choice. I mean, whoever said that we were just supposed to always get our way in the first place? I mean, isn't that the real selfishness? That we expect other people to not have boundaries for our own personal comfort and convenience? Rather than the selfishness that is projected onto people who set the boundaries, honoring their true heart's desires? Can't we see that this is running on both ends of the spectrum? That yes, it is and can be perceived as being selfish to set boundaries. And yes, it is and can be perceived as selfish when you don't want people to set boundaries because it makes you uncomfortable and inconvenient. So how about we just accept that we are selfish, yet that selfishness on one hand is coming from a high conscious place of honoring the truth and honesty of our heart and what it really wants. And the selfishness on the other hand is actually just wanting people and expecting people to keep things comfortable around us for us so we don't have to face our own shadows and our own demons and our own shit. So that's what really triggers people when you set boundaries, is it is holding up a mirror to the stuff they don't want to see, the decisions they don't want to make, the truth that's in their heart that they don't want to see, because once they see it, they know they are accountable to honoring it because the soul won't let them off the hook. So this is a reminder. You always have a choice, and everybody you interact with also always has a choice. And this is why boundaries are so awesome, because they allow you to receive and they also give. They give people choices. They give people choices. They give people clarity. They give people an invitation to get honest with themselves about what they want and how they can create what they want, as opposed to expecting the people around them to change and shift and be in a way that lets them have what they want. They take their power back. So setting strong boundaries, yes, increases your capacity to receive, laser focuses your energy, connects you to source, but it also gives others opportunities to choose. It also gives others the gift of clarity of what they really want, a chance to reclaim their own personal power, new and fresh perspectives. All of this is available to them, whether they can see it or choose to see it or not, or choose to be a victim to it, or choose to forget that they have the power of choice. It is all available to them when you set boundaries from your truth. Your only job is to remember and know this and not compromise your own boundaries, which robs them of receiving these gifts while simultaneously dismisses and puts you out of integrity with yourself. So this comes down to the reality of you are and never were a victim because you always have choice. And choice eliminates the deepest victim mentality. And you truly cannot victimize another because they always have choice. And this is true for little things and worldwide things. There are no victims. Now, as I say this, I also recognize shit happens. Terrible things happen. Awful, horrific things happen. And there's always still choice. And those choices might not feel like the best choices. But when we forget that there's a choice, there is no choice. And we are stuck just feeling at the effect of everything outside of us. There is no personal power. So the minute that we can just acknowledge, even though it's crappy and it's hard and it's horrific and it's awful, that there is still a choice, we crack open and start to plant seeds of our own personal power that grow bigger and bigger and bigger, and new possibilities and new choices and growth and evolution starts to happen. At the end of the day, we can prefer we had different choices. We can wish that the choices were better. We can try to put energy and effort into changing other people and changing their minds so that choices become better for us. But at the end of the day, we have no control over that. And the more energy we spend in trying to control and trying to convince other people to change, instead of choosing our own choices that are right in front of us, whether we like them or not, and finding the opportunities and possibilities beyond those choices when we just own and recognize we still have a choice, until we do that, we will just keep spinning our wheels and wanting everything outside of us to change. And when it doesn't, feel frustrated, ticked off, defeated, hopeless, all of the stuff. The great Einstein, not the first time you're going to hear this one, said, "We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them." So trying to solve problems from a place of victimhood and lack of choice, or trying to control things out of your control, like other people and the choices they're leaving you with that you don't like, are all the things that stop us from finding the high conscious solutions that are available. That's the thinking that eliminates the solutions. And the minute we recognize that you always have the power of choice and take radical responsibility and ownership for you, your desires, your boundaries, what you really want, then and only then will more choices and solutions reveal themselves, and your capacity to create and your capacity to receive and your capacity to impact and your capacity to grow and evolve shows up. And things you didn't realize were there, that were right in front of you but you couldn't see, new choices and new possibilities, just pop up magically. And they're so obvious, but we couldn't see them until we just recognized you always have the power of choice. The lens widens with that realization and the remembering that you can set boundaries and other people always have choice. That's a wrap for today's episode. Thank you for tuning in. If you want to join our community where we're sharing more about the tactical, practical ways to apply these high conscious concepts, these energetically invigorating, triggering concepts, remember you can always join us in our Facebook group, our community, where we're doing additional trainings beyond these super high conscious, unique concepts, and you can join us there at tinysoulfulempire.com. Thank you for joining us here, and have an amazing rest of your week and day. Until next time, keep evolving.
Thank you for tuning in and your contribution in raising your own frequency in the entire collectives. For more resources and bonus material, check out the link in the description of this episode. Until next time, happy manifesting.